From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. While the critical issues of immigration, income inequality, women's rights, and LGBT rights loom large during the midterm races, one issue on which our very existence depends has not gotten nearly enough attention. And that is, of course, climate change. Candidates for federal and state-level office are rarely tracked on their positions supporting the end of fossil fuel use and a transition to clean energy. Now, a climate-related voter guide for the 2018 midterms is offering Americans, for whom climate change is an important issue, some direction as they cast their ballots. My guest is Jake Assale. He is the lead researcher for the 2018 National Climate Change Voters Guide at the Vote Climate US PAC. Welcome to the program, Jake.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So what is this voter's guide exactly? Who are you tracking and how are you tracking them? Because if you're doing the entire nation, that's a lot of tracking to do.
It is. We have around 900 profiles of every single U.S. candidate running for the House and Senate. And we score them on their change on climate, their climate position, vote score for incumbents, leadership for incumbents as well, and also all candidates' stance on a carbon fee. And we just try to make this voter guide as easy as to use for voters in this upcoming election. All they have to do is go on our site, voteclimatepac.org, click on our voters guide page, either type in their zip code, click on their state on the map we provide, or just search their candidate, and they can find out whether the candidates on their ballot are climate heroes or climate zeros.
So they can, looking at this particular voter guide, one finds the map. And so when I click on California, which is one of the states which is really a leader on the issue of climate change, you know, of course, we all want these issues, these things to be even stronger, but California relative to everybody else is quite strong. So you have the current senator, Dianne Feinstein, who's up for re-election and her challenger as well. And then all of the people running for the House, the incumbents as well as the challengers. Why do you separate incumbents from challengers? Is it that incumbents actually have a policy record to examine and for the challengers, you just have to go by what they say as part of their campaign platform?
Yeah, it was actually up to much debate between me and our president, Karen Strickler, on if we were going to include challengers at all, since they don't have, as you said, a political track record to really go off of. And all we can really use are local newspapers and their own campaign website to kind of get an idea of where they stand on climate change and the carbon tax. But we also separate them so voters get an idea of how challengers relate to their incumbents so they can have a better idea of who to vote for on November 6th.
So a lot of folks have gotten hundreds, and I'm assuming that's the highest score. Some have gotten 25s, and when you and these are all per issue, as you said, the issue, for example, on the carbon fee, you can identify them by the political party, and then there's an overall score. I noticed that there are some, like Devin Nunes of California, that has a score of 0. What does somebody with a 0 score represent? How does one even get a 0 score?
Well, it's relatively easy. You just have to deny climate change. You have to publicly state that you do not support a carbon fee or carbon tax. If you are an incumbent, you have to vote against every single legislation we culled out over the past 6 years for senators and the past 4 years for congressmen. And you have to be a non-leader on climate action, meaning supporting making public statements that show that you are against climate action and taking significant steps to transition our country off of fossil fuels, which have been exacerbating the climate issue.
So when you say climate zeros, you literally mean those people who score 0.
Yes, yes, exactly. And climate heroes are saved for those who score a 100, which is no easy task. We have under 100 climate heroes out of our 900 profiles.
So out of the 900 people you profiled, less than 100 are climate heroes. Yeah, that's not very good.
No, but I mean, it just shows you that I mean, we prioritize those candidates. We don't give 100s easily. You need to really be a leader on this issue for us to give you that score. And that doesn't take away from candidates, though, that score 93.75 or in the 90s or even in the high 80s. Those are still relatively good scores.
Can you give us an example of a climate hero that has scored 100 points and explain to us how it is that they have been a climate leader as a either as a political person holding political office or as a candidate?
So one of our Senate priority candidates is Bill Nelson. He's been in the Senate for quite a while, and he consistently votes on for climate action. He's also been on, TV. He's made floor speeches on behalf of taking significant steps to mitigate climate change, and then he's also come out in support of a carbon fee. And then, yes, on his on every website he has, he always makes climate change a top issue.
Are there certain things you can conclude about the climate from the Climate Voter Guide about, for example, geographic clustering of climate heroes or party affiliation of climate heroes or zeros?
Yeah, I have a fact sheet in front of me, and we break it down by region. So in the Northeast, we have U.S. House incumbents scoring a 93, but in the South, we have U.S. House incumbents scoring an 81. And I honestly just think that has to do with what voters prioritize in those regions. Obviously, in the Northeast, it's going to be slightly more progressive, so voters will prioritize climate change a little more, and that'll be reflected in the candidates' stances and who gets elected.
You're suggesting that the candidates and the people holding office that are being scored really do respond to voters. So did you find, so it sounds like you found that in the states that are more progressive, on the coasts, for example, you have more climate heroes.
But that's not to say that there weren't climate heroes across the country. And we actually prioritize candidates in Iowa, Kansas, not historically hotbeds of climate progression, but still candidates that see this issue as very necessary to combat.
How do you measure a position on the climate? Because obviously there are some very direct things like fossil fuel, the fossil fuel industry, but then there are things that are a little bit less direct, such as preserving biodiversity or protecting federally protected lands, that may have an impact on in the environment, but may not necessarily be linked to long-term issues around climate change. Did you have a very narrow definition?
So for climate position, which is responsible for 85% of the score for challengers and 25% of the score for incumbents, we just kept it simple. Do they believe that climate change is happening and caused by man-made actions? If they believe that, then yes, they would get a 100 on their climate position. But we did have a lot of candidates that kind of gave a middle ground response where they said they would believe climate change is happening, but they didn't go far enough saying it was man-made, so they would fall in that 50 category. And then there was a lot of candidates that didn't have a position that we found at all, so we were stuck giving them a 25.
Right, you have some candidates and some political figures that seem to want to try to have it both ways, because what other way is there to explain the record heat waves we've had, the record breaking hurricanes, strong hurricanes? So you hear people like Trump saying, well, something is changing, but we don't think it's caused by humans. Does that garner any points, that weird position?
No, actually, if you just think that the climate is changing and it has been changing for the past thousands of years or whatever the token responses given by climate deniers these days, you will be given a zero.
Now, so this particular voter guide can it looks at, you said 900 people who are either incumbents or challengers running for Congress, so the Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. But what about state governors? We know so much change on the issue of climate is happening at the state level simply because there's so much inaction at the federal level. So in California, we have Jerry Brown, whose record on climate is mixed, but certainly relative to other governors is quite forward-thinking. It really depends. States' climate position really depends on who the governor is. Did you look at governors?
As much as we would have loved to look at governors and state elections, we just did not have the resources to do so. Finding all of this information on U.S. Senate incumbents, U.S. House incumbents, as well as all their challengers, was a cumbersome task. And we really hope that voters engage with this voter's guide and visit our site at voteclimateuspac.org, visit the voter's guide, and make use of it come November 6th.
What a role, as far as you can tell, has the fossil fuel industry played in this election? I know that your climate guide doesn't focus on these on any statewide ballot measures, but are there any ballot measures that you know of that address climate change? Have fossil fuel companies been lobbying against them?
So I do not know as much about that, but I do know Washington State has a carbon tax on their ballot for Tuesday. But again, we really just want as many voters to be using our voter's guide as possible. The only way that we can have the effect that we want is if everyone across the country, and more, and especially in key states and swing districts, are voting climate.
Why specifically key states and swing districts? Is that where you find that candidates are most responsive to voters? Demands?
Well, we find that those elections are definitely the most publicized, and if we can get climate on the agenda in those key states and swing districts, it will become more of a pervasive issue across the country.
Now, there has been a growing number of candidates that are pledging, as they run for office, even if they're incumbent, that are pledging to take no contributions from fossil fuel companies. There's a lot of environmental organizations that have been pushing candidates to do the same. Does that count for anything? If you proclaim, I will not take money from fossil fuel companies, does that count towards your score in the voter guide?
Yes, it does. So for incumbents, that would definitely fall under leadership, and that would definitely bolster your leadership score, potentially to a 100 if you also have other public statements that that are with that as well. And then for challengers, that would probably go under position, as that indicates that you definitely believe climate change is an important issue and that we should be transitioning to renewable energies and carbon neutral fuels.
Are you, how do you assess how candidates in general are placing the issue of climate alongside other campaign issues? Unfortunately, we have a country where our president has a very strong bully pulpit, or uses a very strong bully pulpit, and he wants to make this entire election about immigrants invading the United States. And so, of course, candidates tend to want to respond to that. Do you worry that the issue of climate just hasn't been high profile enough during this election, for even for candidates who are climate heroes?
I definitely think in the 24-hour news cycle that climate change just does not get enough time, and that is unfortunate, as it is the most important issue facing our society. But we can't help that. All we can really help is get this voter's guide into as many hands as possible, and for those people that value climate action and see climate change as a serious threat, we hope that this voter's guide helps them on November 6th.
Mm-hmm. Can you search the voter's guide by candidate name or just by state?
So you can search by zip code, you can search by clicking your state on the map, or you can actually just type in the last name of your candidate and you can find out their climate score that way.
This voter guide reminds me a little bit of what the NRA has done on the issue of gun rights, that they have scored candidates with letter grades over the years in terms of how strongly they support the right, gun proliferation. And they've used it as a very effective tool to wield political influence in Congress. Was that in part inspiration for this climate voter guide?
The NRA has definitely done a very good job at getting politicians onto their side. And a voter's guide, I think, is a great way to, get voters to prioritize your singular issue and therefore get politicians to sway towards that issue as well. And it definitely factored into our thinking for this voter's guide. We also just think that a voter's guide is the best way for voters to see where all their candidates stand on climate change and taking climate action. We think it might be the best way to swing the tide towards climate change and get a climate wave come Tuesday, November 6th.
A climate wave. I like that. Are you hoping that with this voter guide in use, that a future voter guide for future elections will allow you to examine, for example, the positions of state governors and people running for gubernatorial races on climate?
Yeah, this is just the beginning. We were a two-man team.
Wow.
Me doing the research. Yes, yeah, that's also part of the reason that we really just couldn't include state elections. We were just, the resources just weren't there. But if this voters guide is as successful as we think it will be, state elections will definitely be on the docket by 2020 or even 2022.
Two-person teams are what I know quite well. That's exactly the size of the team that puts this show together. So give out that website one more time, Jake, so that people know as they're heading toward the polls, if they haven't yet early voted or mailed in their ballots, where they should go to check out their particular candidates.
So visit voteclimatepac.org. And then you can just click on our voters guide page, and the rest we've covered. You can just type in your zip code, you can click on your state, the state on the map, or you can just type in the last name of your candidate.
And we will link to that from our website as well. Jake, thank you for all your hard work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sonali. This was a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. My guest has been Jake Assail, lead researcher for the 2018 National Climate Change Voters Guide at the Vote Climate US PAC. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.